Now, earlier this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, we heard how a local headmaster was going to be heading out on a bit of a personal quest. And he's made an audio blog of his mission specially for us. Jeff Barton is head teacher at the King Edward VI School in Bury St Edmunds. He's trying to find out more about one of the heads from his past, who was from the past at the school, who was dismissed. Listen on.
'50, John King. '53, William Waterman and John Fenn. '66, Thomas Rudd. So I'm standing in the assembly hall at King Edward VI School, and I'm looking back at my predecessors more than 400 years ago, and one in particular raises a question. 1596, Edmund Coote. As I explained to Leslie Dolphin earlier this week.
A book I read last year. Oddly, I noticed a reference to the former headmaster of King Edward VI School in Bury St Edmunds, and it said, for reasons unknown, I'm just reading it here, for reasons unknown, he was obliged to leave his post.
Now, there's not very much that's been written about Edmund Coote, but there are a few clues along the way which suggest why he only lasted 9 months at the school. One is perhaps he got involved in a romantic entanglement of some kind and had to leave in a hurry. There isn't any evidence for that. Another is that he just wasn't a very good teacher, though head teachers don't usually get sacked for not being great teachers, I don't think. Another is that he was outrageous in publishing a grammar book for English grammar and for teaching English grammar. And for that, I spoke to someone who is a Latin expert to try and explain why that would be such a controversial thing. His name is David Hopkins.
He was wanting to bring literacy to tailors, weavers and shopkeepers rather than doctors, lawyers and clergymen. And I think this might have upset the apple cart a bit, because the ruling elite suddenly realised that knowledge is, well, they knew that knowledge is power and their grip on this knowledge, and therefore their power is being weakened by that.
So it's starting to look as if Edmund Coote left Bury St Edmunds after being sacked by the governors of King Edward's and moved to Hertfordshire, as far as we can tell. So what I wanted to do then was to try and find his gravestone, which we think is in Sawbridgeworth. But the question is, how easy is it going to be to find a grave dating back to 1610?
Excuse me. How far are we from Great St Mary's Church? We guess from the map it was near here.
You're not far away. In fact, this is the easiest way. Go down straight down the main road.
All right.
You come to a crossroads.
Yeah.
Straight across, it's in front of you.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. And suddenly we're there. And also suddenly we can see why it's called Great St Mary's, because it is a huge graveyard. And the thought of finding a gravestone from 1610 starts to look a bit more difficult. But we do what Stuart Small suggested, and we start off by looking inside the church to try and find a bit of a sense of its history. But I'm glad we brought you. So we're in the church now, in fact, one of the transepts. And it is a beautiful church, fantastic wooden benches remaining. But also it's clear that, as Stuart Small back at school predicted, there has been a lot of redevelopment of it over the years, particularly in Victorian times, and that bodes badly for us. Okay, well, this history is going to tell us something about it. In 1845, the whole church was in a shocking state, windows crumbling. This, I have to say, is not looking promising. Edmund Coote was a schoolmaster. He certainly wasn't important enough that he was going to have a plaque inside the church, which we could have seen. And as we go out into the churchyard, what's clear is that while we can just about make out some of the gravestones from the 19th century, the earliest one about 1810, anything earlier than that has been too heavily weathered. And the other problem is there are just so many of them.
How many graves would you guess we've walked around?
My son Nick has got A-level maths, and he reckons there are more than 1,000 gravestones here.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. The biggest problem, though, is that most of the headstones have eroded a lot.
Yeah.
And are virtually unreadable.
Well, we're just leaving Sawbridgeworth, a little disappointed, I think it'd be fair to say, because I think either side of the church was
greater than we thought. We probably should have realised that a church called Great St Mary's was not going to be tiny. And the churchyard in particular wasn't just pretty extensive, but also very, very weathered. We're not going to give up on Edmund Coote just yet, because although he disappears from Bury St Edmunds in 1597, he resurfaces in the village of Hunsdon as a schoolmaster. And it's the neighbouring parish, so we think let's just go and have a look, see if we can find any evidence in the church there of the baptism of his son, who we know was baptised there, or evidence of him being a schoolmaster in the village.
No. Locked.
And the problem here is that the church is locked.
You don't know whether it's ever open, the church?
No, it's vandalised.
Oh, does it?
It's a pity. So the final part of our quest is to go and find some evidence in the village of where Edmund Coote might have ended up as schoolmaster.
Excuse me. Are you from the village, or do you know the village?
I've been here about a year.
Oh, we're on a mission to see that there was an old schoolhouse somewhere in the village. You didn't know that there's a house named Schoolhouse, or which might have been used as a school, but I'm talking about a long time ago, 400 years ago.
I really don't know, to be honest with you, because I know that's the old post house there.
Which is the oldest part of the village?
Around here.
Is it?
I believe is the oldest part. That house there, well, just before the bus sign, I think that was the original post office.
And the post office now is?
It's a house now.
Is
it's
it?
All the best place to go would be if you go down to the end here,
yeah,
where the Fox and Hound is,
yeah,
just past there, do a left, there's a little corner shop.
Ah,
and
okay.
They've got the history in there, so they'll be able to
Great.
Know where it is.
Thank
exactly.
You. Thanks for your help.
We really are getting close to something now. We go to the shop where they know of the old schoolhouse, which was there 400 years ago, and which we assume was where Edmund Coote either lived and taught, but certainly taught.
Hello, a strange request. We're just visiting. We're trying to find somewhere that was used as a schoolhouse 400 years ago. You don't know of any of any. Do you know?
Yeah, just down the road.
Yeah. Is it?
That's just where you are. How old are
you? Is it? Yeah. Was it? Is it called the schoolhouse or something?
Well, ain't now, is it?
No, it's called the old house, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just on.
We just want to take a photo, actually, because
that's down on my left, isn't it?
Okay. Just carry on.
And in fact, somebody who's there buying some stamps offers to show us the way to the old school.
But this is where Edinburgh used to live. Was that you said?
What, the Edinburgh family?
Yeah, I used to polish their shoes in that.
So we haven't managed to find the grave of Edmund Coote, but we have, we think, found where he resurfaced as a schoolmaster, having written a textbook that outraged the governors in Bury St Edmunds, but probably helped to make him a wealthy man. And this is the house that he lived in.
That's the one called the old house, but it used to be the old schoolhouse. You can see by the crest up there.
Until this week, Edmund Coote was just a slightly obscure footnote in books about the history of the English language. But today, with our visit into Hertfordshire, we've started to get a sense of who the man might have been. And although we haven't unearthed all of the answers to our questions, I'm certainly going to continue to find out more about my mysterious predecessor.
Set Jeff Barton's personal challenge, his quest, an audio diary.
Your local. BBC Radio Suffolk.
Interesting to see if he ever finds out any more.